doing supermarkets they visited and all that stuff.
Correct. If that's okay.
Are we good?
Better hurry up.
Nicely done.
Time to spare.
I'm going to call to order a regular meeting of the Gulf Beach City Council for Monday, September 17, 2012. We really appreciate those of you who are here joining us tonight and those who are watching at home. Would you please stand and rise with us and have a moment of silence? And if we didn't do this previously, Karen, if it's okay with you, we'd like to have this moment of silence in honor of your mom. Weaving, photography, baking, and flowers. Wow, a lot of hobbies. She's accompanied this evening, I believe, by your mom. Your mom's here, and dad. And we have a teacher, Mrs. Stein, now.
Grandmother.
Oh, grandmother. Very good. And so, Lola, whenever you're ready.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Lola. And I think we have there.
Hold on, hold on.
You're back.
I have a certificate of appreciation. So come on up here. Why don't you let mom and everyone take a picture and look over here? Yeah. There you go. Thank you. You want to shake everyone's hand? I know you've already met her, but that's okay.
Right down the line. Thank you so much for coming.
You did a good job.
Please be seated. What a sweetheart. Lola, keep up the great work in school. We really appreciate you coming down and leading us in the flag salute. Roll call.
Here. Present. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, can you go over our closed session announcements this evening?
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, on Monday, August 20th, 2012, Council met in closed session on one item, that's existing litigation, one case of Grover Beach versus Shukla. After convening back into open session, there were no reportable actions.
Very good. Thank you. At this point, we're going to review the order of the agenda as presented by staff and see if anyone wants to make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
No.
Okay. Someone prepared to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as proposed.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we are going to proceed with the agenda as presented by staff this evening. I believe there are some extras on the table to my right and the audience to the left. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar this evening. This is item number one, and this is a proclamation declaring October 2012 as Energy Awareness Month. Councilmember Peterson.
And I asked to do this one tonight because I think we could still do better, and I'm going to commit to being more active on that this year. So it's Energy Awareness Month, declaring October 2012 as Energy Awareness Month, whereas the city recognizes and promotes the value of energy efficiency in reducing energy usage to save residents, businesses, and governments money on their utility bills, to improve indoor comfort and air quality, and to limit greenhouse gas emissions, and whereas the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership, a joint program of the County of San Luis Obispo, the City of Grover Beach, the City of Arroyo Grande, the City of Pismo Beach, the City of Morro Bay, the City of San Luis Obispo, the City of Atascadero, the City of Paso Robles, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Southern California Gas Company, and the Economic Vitality Corporation provides marketing of energy efficiency efficiency programs, rebates and services, direct installation of energy efficiency equipment for commercial and municipal buildings, and training for industry professionals within San Luis Obispo County. And whereas the City of Grover Beach has realized savings through the direct install program totaling approximately 120,141 kilowatt hours and $21,145 in annual savings in commercial and nonprofit buildings since January 2011, and whereas the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County, a nonprofit agency committed to eliminating poverty by employing individuals, by empowering individuals and families to achieve economic self-sufficiency, maintains a home weatherization and energy conservation program, among many other programs for low-income residents, that has serviced 325 homes since January 2011 in the city of Grover Beach, and will observe National Weatherization Day on October 30th, and whereas the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership, in coordination with the Community and Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District, and local nonprofit organizations are hosting many energy efficiency training and education events in the month of October, including the energy event featuring informational sessions and interactive workshops for the public at the San Luis Obispo Veterans Hall on October 20th. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach
encourage investment in energy savings measures. So, thank you very much.
So our next proclamation on the ceremonial calendar is a proclamation of the City Council that is for Constitution Week, September 17th through the 23rd of 2012 is Constitution Week 2012, and I'll present this proclamation. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring September 17th through the 23rd, 2012 as Constitution Week 2012. And it says, whereas September 17th, 2012 marks the 224th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it's fitting and proper to officially recognize this magnificent document and the anniversary of its creation, and whereas it is fitting and proper to officially recognize the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States designating September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week, now therefore be resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby proclaim the week of September 17th through the 23rd, 2012 as Constitution Week 2012. I believe we've got a couple of individuals here to receive this proclamation this evening, Ms. Mollenkopf and Captain Schweitzer.
And members of the City Council, I'd like to thank you so much on behalf of our chapter regent, Tammy Wilkeny, for proclaiming this week Constitution Week 2012, and also to give note of our Captain Henry Schweitzer Society chapter of the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. And thank you so much for your time and for doing this, and I appreciate the wonderful, beautiful document we'll take in, and I'll take it back to our regent, and we will be very grateful for this and keep this in our meetings for this year and remember you all. Thank you so much.
Very good. Okay. Yes, thank you, Ms. Redding. Okay, let's move on to our public communications. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for an item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind that the council can listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any items that are not on the agenda. I do have one speaker request form, but I also know that there is someone else that wants to address the council in public communications. So let me start with Ms. Sharon Brown.
I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to our city council, our city staff, our community members, our business partners, for the very moving ceremony we had on 9-1-1. It was not only an opportunity for us to put a hand back, to hold on to what we had lost that particular day in human life, but an opportunity to put a hand forward and say where we want to go, to pursue the dreams that we still have. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon, for those very well thought out words and those sentiments. And is there anyone else?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and your super duper staff. I think you're really done well for the size of this great community. But on behalf of the Central California Narvacanian Association, Mario Zembo has asked me to come with him tonight and remind you of the Sister City celebration coming up on the 29th of this month. And also on the 30th, there's going to be the luncheon, which I believe is sponsored by our group this time. Certainly want to thank you. And at the ceremony,
August 14th through September 11th, 2012, we have various minutes for meetings for on June 4th, June 18th, which was a special city council meeting, June 18th. We also have an update of master fee schedule for surcharges adding to parking violations. Six is the declaration of stage one water shortage and water shortage contingency plan update. And then finally, a program supplemental agreement for the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. Do any members of the council want to pull any items from consent?
Yes, please.
Okay, which item?
5 and 7.
Anyone else? Okay. And I don't have any requests from the public pool, any items. So at this point, I'll accept a motion on items 3, 4, and 6.
I'll make that motion that we accept the items 3, 4, and 6 as presented in the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, very good. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And what we do is when we pull items from consent, we move them to the end of regular business. So we will consider items 5 and 7 after item 10 tonight. So let's move on to our regular business. This is our revised fiscal year 13 budget. And this is going to be a joint staff report. Or is this city manager?
Director Chapman.
Okay.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. On June 18th, 2012, the City Council adopted the fiscal year 13 budget. At that time of the budget adoption, the general fund expenditures exceeded revenues by an estimated $319,000. The general fund portion of the budget was formulated with the knowledge that certain objectives would be achieved. The deficit that was in the original budget has been eliminated with a combination of employee concessions of $133,400, concessions from the Five Cities Fire Authority of $122,389, and the sale of city-owned property for $150,000. The enterprise fund expenditures are also affected positively by the employee concessions completed during the recent labor negotiations. As part of the original budget approval for fiscal year 13, a reduction in staff was authorized by the City Council. This reduction was accomplished through a series of retirements and layoffs. All of the retirements are moving forward according with the initial schedule. One final retirement will occur in December 2012. All of the layoffs have occurred with the exception of the account clerk position, and based on final budget revisions, the city was able to retain the account clerk position. This position is assigned to handle a portion of accounts payable and the payroll functions, as well as provide backup to the consolidated counter. The city is operating with 48 full-time budgeted positions, all of which are currently not filled. The city is currently recruiting to fill two police officer positions and a maintenance worker one position. The city's population ratio to city employees is 276-1. In conclusion, the general fund is now balanced, and the rest of the fiscal year will need to be approached cautiously. Staff will continue to update the City Council quarterly as issues arise that may need the Council's action. Staff is recommending that the City Council adopt the resolution readopting the fiscal year 13 budget.
A very good staff report. Thank you. Who's anyone? Questions? Questions to my left? Billis?
I do. We have here that we're going to fill two positions. Are those budgeted?
Yes, they are.
They are. All right. Thank you.
That's all. That it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Any questions to my right?
None.
Okay. So let's see. This is a regular business item, but I'm going to open this up to if anyone in the audience would like to speak on this item. Is there anyone that would like to address that before the council tonight? Seeing none, I'm going to close and bring it back. At this point, if there's no more discussion, would someone like to make a motion on this item?
Actually, I'd like to make a comment.
Very good. Okay.
I had a resident. I know we have furlough days, and I had a resident, since this has to do with the budget, because that's why we have the furlough days, is to help to balance the budget. Voice of concern, they said, I guess on Friday, several people were here to pay their water bills. And I know it is published when we are closed, but I'm wondering in the future if we should look at other ways of working in this manner so that we maybe look at half days on Fridays or something, or being open.
Half days would only create, I think, more difficulty because and more confusion because you'd be adding days rather than subtracting them. I think what we're going to attempt to do as things improve will be to recommend that we eliminate the furlough days as we financially can.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And those are good comments because I was thinking of the very thing as certainly the furloughs were to help the budget. We certainly don't want that to affect service. And as the economy improves, there will be opportunities to reduce the number of furlough days.
I had a question on that.
Okay.
Do the furlough days go out with utility billing also?
No. I think the next noticing of the community would be the newsletter, which will go out the 1st of October.
Okay.
Okay. We do have an item before us, and it's regarding the revised fiscal year 13 budget. So is anyone prepared to make a motion on this
I'll
item?
I'll move that we accept the revised budget as published.
I'll second it. I had a couple of comments.
Okay, there's a motion. There's a second. Comments. Councilmember Peterson.
I wanted to say thank you to the Five Cities Fire Authority. I know that they made some important concessions to help us get to this stage, and also to staff who, again, for I think the third year now, have done that. So very appreciative of their support again. And also that I'm really pleased to see that we've been able to transfer almost $123,000 back into our reserves, which means that the $150,000 sale of land just means we really transferred non-liquid assets into a more liquid form, which I think in times like this is a very prudent move. Cash flow is very important. So I'm happy to second the budget.
Okay. Any other comments?
I agree. It was really a hard thing to do, and we all appreciate it.
Okay. This is a roll call. So, Donna, when you're ready.
Yes.
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 Yes. And I do want to just echo the comments made by Councilmember Peterson. I want to say staff has done an excellent job of helping us close the deficit, bringing
expenditures in line with revenues, and so being able to rebuild that reserve is huge. And I want to say thank you to all of staff members who certainly worked with us to bring this budget into balance. So thanks to everyone. Let's move on to item number 9. This is options for the rehabilitation of Oak Park Boulevard. City Manager Perrault.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The as the council will recall, last month the council requested that staff return with an item to discuss the options for the repair of Oak Park. As you all know, Oak Park Boulevard is located on the city's eastern boundary. And as I understood the direction, the council was wanting to look at that part of the road that extends from West Grand Avenue essentially to El Camino Real, or the northern city boundary. Just a couple of interesting facts about that street. The street is roughly 3,000 feet in length and measures approximately 60 feet curb to curb in terms of width. The street has 16,000 vehicle trips a day is what it's seen. It's interesting to note that even with that level of activity, the level of service remains at A, which means the traffic is fairly free flowing most of the time. The street also services, in addition to Grover Beach, it should be pointed out the street serves Pismo Beach, Royal Grande, as well as county areas to the south. As you all know, those of you that travel the street, the condition varies from one end to the other. In terms of history, much of the pavement that you see, especially on this more southern side, hasn't really been touched much since the 70s and 80s, and that's relatively from West Grand Avenue up to the almost the top of the hill. As the council is aware, there was a major project that was undertaken on the northern side of the street, on the downhill side, that was essentially a widening and repaving project that occurred, I believe, in 2004 and 2005. It actually predates myself as well as the city engineer. I was here roughly a year after the street was completed. In 2007, the street likely began to crack almost as soon as you put it down. The second option would be to grind, and the treatment would consist of grinding and overlaying the entire length of the street. And this amount is estimated at roughly $450,000. Obviously, that would improve serviceability, but you know, it wouldn't take care of some of the areas that really need to be rebuilt. Other end of it is obviously a complete rebuild of the street, a dig out and reconstruction. That would roughly cost $1.6 million. Which is also at the high end of the cost estimates. The fourth option would be a combination of probably two and three. That would mean that you would grind and pave probably the majority of this section, but you would also dig out and reconstruct the areas where it really needs it the most. To do a detailed estimate, we would need to complete an updated pavement analysis. But we estimate that the cost would range between $600,000 and $800,000. Should staff wish to proceed with the repair of Oak Park, we would suggest authorizing staff to proceed with the pavement analysis followed by the actual engineering and design of the street. That's estimated to cost between $25,000 and $30,000. We do have sufficient funds available in the gas tax fund to cover that cost. It would take a a budget amendment to do that. We would then suggest that we begin looking at the options to finance the construction of the street, and there are a series of them. I did have the first one that is mentioned is request funding from SLOCOG. I do want to mention that I did happen to have a brief discussion with SLOCOG staff, and they indicated to me that actually state highway account funds in 2013 will be up for reprogramming. And it is possible that this project could, because it's of regional benefit, be eligible to receive. It would probably compete well as a project on a region basis. Would have to go through that competition process, and those funds would likely be available in 2014. But at least that is some light at the end of the tunnel. In addition to that, there are a couple of other options that probably should be pursued. One of those would be to request participation from the adjoining communities. Obviously, they benefit from having the street repaired, and I would include amongst that the county, because obviously Oceano is in the county, and we should approach the county as well as the two other cities in terms of a possible participation. You could, as an option, utilize next year's allocation of the street rehabilitation program. It's a real minimal amount of $200,000, but at this point, those dollars haven't been dedicated by the council, so they would be available for council use. It could fund in part with the gas tax fund. We are using the gas tax fund now to cover our street rehabilitation program at the rate of $200,000 a year. But the fund balance is, I believe, in the neighborhood of $400,000. So that would make some additional funding available. Of course, the bottom line is the council could use reserve funds. Staff would suggest that this would probably be the last option that the council would like to follow, simply because we think it's important to retain at least 20% of our general fund operating dollars in reserves, which is roughly $1.4 to $1.5 million. Should the council wish to proceed at this point, we would suggest that we at least be directed to proceed with the testing and design. You have other alternatives. The council could choose not to proceed at this point on this project, or provide staff with additional direction. Essentially, that concludes my staff report, and we're available for questions.
And repaired it?
Yes.
And that did not work either?
It appears to me obviously it traveled that road quite a bit. The repaired pieces have held up better than those that were not repaired, although you see unraveling in both instances. Yeah, on the north side of the hill.
Yeah. All the work was done on the north side of the hill, not on this side.
So yeah,
right.
That's the side. That's the side that really is in trouble. I mean, okay. So then, how do we make sure that that sort of thing doesn't happen again?
Well, you always have, and I'll call on the city engineer. But you have your specs, and specs have certain standards, and the road should be built to certain standards, and you have periodic testing and inspection. Greg, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think so. We can rely on the Asphalt Concrete Institute to provide. They do a great job of policing their own industry, and they provide a very high quality standard specifications to be followed. And then at that point, I think you have to have people qualified who understand asphalt design and placement on the street while that work is being done, to be certain that it's being all the way from the plant mix to the final application and last finish rolling, to be certain that the product is mixed and placed properly. With that in place, you could expect the kind of design life that the product was originally designed to have, in this case in the range of 20 years
right.
It should have been.
And I mean, I think that there wasn't there some kind of issue with 4th Street as well, where there's some kind of an issue with the product that...
Same thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and I'm sure that this was a prevailing wage job as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Was.
So, it just seems to me that we need to watch out for ourselves. I mean, it doesn't matter who, we just need to make sure that these things are in place.
Absolutely. Construction management is hugely critical in the success, getting your money's worth and life cycle costs out of any product that you have installed by a contractor.
Okay. Thank you. I think those are my questions for the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Bill, you have any questions?
No questions.
To my left?
I have some questions.
Okay. Deb?
I'm curious about the road base on Oak Park. I know that on some of our residential roads, they really were never had a proper base. There was sand dunes with a little oil on top, a little asphalt on top of a little more asphalt. Does Oak Park have a proper base?
I don't know. I mean, certainly the portions of Oak Park that were constructed just prior to Bob's arrival here at the city would have.
Okay.
I think it's fairly likely that most of it has. Otherwise, I think you'd see a lot more failure than you do now. It is holding up to rather significant truck traffic and has for a number of years. So that would seem to suggest that. But ultimately, what would need to be done is in testing would be some core samples and some what we call deflection testing to determine the strength of the entire pavement section and the base underneath it. And by doing that, then we could determine the best design for the going on in the future.
And would that be part of this report that you're suggesting we might wish to move forward with?
Absolutely.
And the unraveling appears to have been a problem with a mixing fault. Is the mixing the responsibility of the contractor, or is it the responsibility of the raw materials supplier?
Well, ultimately, the entire project is the responsibility, the quality of the project is the responsibility of the contractor, and enforcing that's the responsibility of the city. But the contractor, the mix plant would essentially be his sub.
Mm-hmm.
So the contractor would look to the sub to meet the quality requirements the contractor specifies. But, you know, ultimately, again, it's the contractor.
Are we still using this contractor?
Yes, we are, or have.
So it should have had a 20-year life. It was built in 2004 to 2005. It unraveled in 2007, so it had about 10% of the life it should have had. It had a 2 to 3 year life. It's unraveled again in 2012, so then it got another 5 years after it was repaired. So the max we've gotten out of it has been 8 years. It's not even half of what we should have had out of it. How do we make sure that doesn't happen again, and do we have any recourse at this point?
I won't speak to the, you know, that's an attorney question as far as recourse at this point, but the way you make sure that doesn't happen, as I stated earlier, is just, you know, having very high quality specifications for the project, and then making sure that you have the ability to accurately inspect both the plant and the placement of the asphalt, and that you have, you know, people on the ground while that stuff's being done. It especially asphalt
in good condition. Continues to be in condition. It's the other areas. Now, whether it's the same issue, in other words, the mix of the material that was used is a problem, I don't know. I think that I presume that part of the report that staff is recommending would assist us in discovering what the issue is. And if the issue is contractually covered and is within a period of time that is covered, then we would have legal recourse.
Okay, thank you. And just one other question. I believe at some point in the report it said that if we wanted to start work, I think it was this project, that it could be started in November. Was that? Am I on the right project? A different project. Okay, never mind. Then that's all I had.
Do you have questions?
Yes, I do. If we go the route of asking for money from SLOCOG, do we need to have already done the testing and design work?
It is helpful to have that done, yes.
to show ability to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The more you have done, by the time you're applying, the more competitive your project is.
Okay, so then we can okay tonight that particular part of it and then wait to see if we can get funding. And then request, because I really do believe we should request assistance from the other communities that use that road also. I don't think that would be out of line to do that. Also, in terms of the contractor that we had used before, who's obviously being left nameless, would we be allowed to exclude that particular company from coming forward and bidding again, or putting some kind of caveat to that?
The city attorney probably can answer that.
Thank you. Councilman Molnar, generally speaking, a singular event of that type would not give basis for disqualification of a contractor, especially since potentially it was the mixing plant. And at least of the events that we know were caused by that issue, the contractor, for lack of a better word, made good on them. The work was redone at no cost to the city, as I recall. But a singular event of bad workmanship would be a difficult basis for excluding somebody from the bidding process. There has to be, by case law, there has to be repeated issues or some, well, obviously if they're unlicensed or anything like that, but just because somebody who was bidding at one point in time did a job that didn't come out exactly the way it's supposed to, or it even came out in a unsatisfactory manner, that alone, generally speaking, doesn't give you grounds for a disqualification, because that's what you would need to do. The council would have to find grounds for disqualifications, and on million-dollar jobs, people tend to do everything they can not to be disqualified and challenge those issues, and that could slow the project down immensely.
All right, thank you. That's all.
Okay, I have comments, so I'm going to wait on those. So thank you, staff. This is a regular business item, but let me see if there's anyone in the community that would like to address this item. Okay, see no one come forward, let me bring it back. Okay, why don't you go ahead and make your comments.
Okay, I would like to comment that, number one, I think putting a slurry code based on my past experience, which I do have some, working with highways, putting a slurry code on Oak Park Boulevard I think would be a waste of money. The condition of the road tells me that slurry coat would not solve any problems whatsoever, and it probably would not last very long anyway. So I definitely am against that. I would like to comment that when 4th Street was done, if my recollection is correct, somebody, and it may have been one of our staff, took the initiative to have the asphalt coming out of the plant tested at the plant. Mm-hmm. And when the unraveling began, we were in excellent position to make sure that it was redone at the cost of the contractor. They could not very well argue because they put the product on the road that was not up to code as to what it should be. Am I not correct in that?
That's sediment? Correct. It was essentially inspection staff that required the testing and followed up and noted that that was the cause of the problem on 4th.
Okay. Thank you. The only other comment I have is that I think we need to really work closely with SLOCOG in hopes that we can get a grant, and I agree with you that that road probably would qualify quite well, and I would like to hear the mayor's comments on that, working with SLOCOG as long as you have. You probably have some idea about that.
Someone does a project. Doesn't the staff have to come back and the council has to come back and accept it as being completed and compliance with the specifications?
That's correct.
So I would think that's probably what happened here when they made the repair in 2007. It came back, and based on the recommendations from our professionals, I believe the council probably accepted that project. So I just want to put that in proper context. The other thing I did want to say is
the reason this project predates the Public Works Director and / City Engineer was this was one of the main reasons we chose to go in that direction. So we had someone sitting in that seat that was a city employee that was looking out for the best interest of this community. And so we've made some improvements on that front. But I do believe we do have an obligation to try and repair this street. I want to thank staff for their staff report. And yes, I'm really appreciative of the number of options that have been laid out here. And I would agree that option one is not something that I could support. Option four is not. I would say the combination of two and three, as staff recommends, seems to be a good direction. And with respect to the financing, I think that all the first four seem to be viable options. And I would say taking five actually out of the mix, because we've just gone through a tough economy over the last few years, and we know we're moving in the right direction, but we still need to have a much greater improvement in the economy. But certainly to reach out and try and get our neighboring cities and the county to contribute, at least let's make that offer or that request. With respect to SLOCOG, I'm glad to see that the city manager met with Mr. DeCarli. I think that's optimistic news, because I know that it has been very competitive with respect to road maintenance funds, whether it is local streets or whether it's on the state highways. And so the fact that he seems to be open to it means it's certainly something we should pursue. But we do, you're correct, we do need to have at least a testing done. If not, you know, so that it puts us in a better position when 2013 comes around. So I think you've done a really good job laying this out nicely. I do want to ask the question regarding, I know we had asked about the long-term strategy for streets. When do you anticipate bringing that back to the council?
Probably next month.
Okay, very good. That way we can at least proceed with the testing of this, and then depending on where we go, we can put it in contact with the rest of our overall street repair and maintenance.
Right. Mr. Mayor, I also want to point out that with this direction, what we will do is initiate that process, but it will take a budget amendment, and we'll have that on the consent calendar on your next agenda.
Very good. And I did have another question, Bob. So I just wanted to clarify, under financing, you had five options, and under three, you talked about utilizing next year's allocation of the street repair project budget, and you estimated that at $200,000. Is that money we're talking about? Because I know when we passed the sales tax measure in 2006, how time flies. We had been utilizing half of those money, and then over the last couple of years we've had to we've done a lot less, if not zero, because of the economy. So is this what you're anticipating?
The next year, the capital improvement program at present shows $200,000 in this year and $200,000 next year coming out of gas tax. Following that, we go back to taking the $240,000 out of the general fund that essentially is what we had been doing previously.
Okay, very good. Okay, there's no other comments on this item. Someone prepared to make a motion?
I will. I'll make a motion that we authorize staff to proceed with the testing and design for the repair of Oak Park Boulevard.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, let me do this on a roll call. Or we can do this on a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number 10. This is an update and information regarding water billing complaint. City Manager Peralt.
Yes. Again, the council had requested that this item be returned to the council, and it's primarily an informational item reviewing the process for complaints that occur largely with respect to the water billing system. As the report points out, we have a customer base of 4,800 customers. Those are billed every 2 months. That gives you roughly just less than 30,000 bills that are mailed out on an annual basis. All of our water at the present time is metered, including the water that is associated with all reading logs approximately 3 years of history, so we have that available to us as well. The city, as all major utilities, occasionally receives complaints regarding from water customers regarding their bill. The most common complaint, of course, is that the use of the amount of water indicated on the bill was greater than anticipated, or subsequently the water cost was greater than anticipated. That's probably most of the complaints we receive. Additional complaints can include low water pressure, as well as from time to time some water, rusty water, etc. Water complaints are first received by the Administrative Services Department, and a lot of them are actually resolved at that particular level. Oftentimes what is reviewed is essentially the use of water, discussion regarding the units, the pricing, and a lot of times that's able to be resolved at that particular point. In cases where it appears that there is a question of maybe overcharging for the water is used, those complaints are referred to the public works staff. Public works staff goes out and conducts a process that includes checking the meter, checking the customers for leaking on their side of the meter. That's done through a process of having the customer shut down their side of the system and determining whether a leak exists or not. If a leak is detected, the customer is so advised. The customer is at this point held responsible for all the water that passes through the meter. So consequently, if a leak occurs on the customer's side, the customer is held responsible for paying that bill as well. If a meter is questioned, we have the ability to take the meter in and have it tested. And we do that in these cases frequently. It's best bench tested using our own staff. And most of the time what we find with meters are that if they're failing, they're usually running slow, which means that they're generally reading in the customer's behalf, not overcharging. If that is the case, then the meter is replaced, and the costs associated with the meter replacement are also charged to the customer. Occasionally, customers still feel that they are paying more than they should for the water. The process is that ultimately the customer is referred to me, and then there's an opportunity to review the evidence again. First it goes to the public works director, then it comes to me to determine if there's any evidence that indicates that somehow the individual is not paying for water that they've used. We do have the ability to make payment arrangements when high bills occur, and we have adjusted bills when there is evidence to indicate so. Essentially, that's the report. We're certainly available to answer any questions you might have.
So how many complaints have you received in
annually? Well, it's hard to say. Actually, we have a way of tracking those complaints because we have notes on the computer system, but we have not actually cumulatively taken a look at that list to know what that total number of complaints are. We do have that capability. They're I would say rare. Again, remembering that we have 4,800 customers, 30,000 billings. We probably deal with I would think somewhere in the neighborhood of a handful of complaints a month. Most of those get resolved at the staff level. I see about six to seven in a year's time.
Okay. Any other questions?
I had one.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't hear you correctly. I'm wondering, you said if a meter is faulty or if it's usually not, it's usually registering lower rather than higher use of water, then the customer is charged for replacement of it?
Yes, because essentially they've received the benefit of that meter reading.
A lot of the parts are made in France, and the gentleman who is our representative, his name is Brett, and he did... It was good that I called him, and I want people to know this information, is that these meters are tested before they leave the facility, and that they do have a 5-year warranty against flaws and being defective. You can't guarantee accuracy, but they will be accurate probably, they said, for almost the first 10 years, and then they will start to slow down, which will be in the favor of the resident, of course. And they said that if we ever have any questions or problems, because I did call, because I knew there were residents who had questions, they'd always be very happy to answer any questions, and that they would be, next time they're in the area, they would be happy to come and speak to us. Thank you.
Okay. So this is just
I have a question.
Yes. Karen?
Thank you. The first unit is a unit of water, 748 gallons. So you get charged for that unit whether you use 30 gallons or you use 748 gallons. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's rounding. It's
okay.
A function of rounding.
So that could be possibly why somebody, we have people who say, there's a household that has 5 people in it and a household that has 2 people in it. How is it that we use and are charged for the same amount of water? And I'm wondering if maybe that may not be why.
That can, in fact, be the case. You could have someone that uses, to use an example, 14.3 units or 14.8 units of water, let's say, and that would be rounded up to the 15, and then you might have someone that used 15.3, that would be rounded down to the 15, so they would reflect the same amount of water.
So someone could actually be using 700 plus gallons more water but still be charged virtually the same amount of, get the same bill. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I see a puzzled look to my left.
Well, yes, because some of that didn't make sense to me. Mr. Ray, could you chime in on that? Because I saw the look on your face.
I think I'd only maybe add a little to that, and that is that, the typical question is we have 4 people in our house, and there's 2 in the house next door, and, it's usually a much larger difference. They used 20 units, and how could they have used 20 units, and we're only 2, and we used 26 units or something like that. When you get down to that very fine level of detail with plus or minus a unit, 748 gallons sounds like a lot. That is a tiny amount of water for 2 months.
Is it?
A tiny amount of water, yes. So we're not talking, that's not a huge factor in terms of comparing. I mean, it could describe very minor differences. But really, you're just talking about water usage patterns between different people, and they vary widely. So.
Okay, all right. But that was my question, though. Really, is one unit you get charged for whether you use 1 gallon or you use 748 gallons? You get charged for that unit.
No,
you get charged for a unit.
It's rounded. So, and it's. It wouldn't be collected.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, you used a tenth of a unit mm-hmm. each month. So we would read a tenth of a unit and we'd say, well, it's not it doesn't round up to a unit. You wouldn't receive a charge for usage. Next month, another tenth of a unit, you have 2/10 of a unit, you still wouldn't see a charge for usage. It's collective. The meter is like a gas meter at the when you go to the gas station. Mm. Every time you put it back, if you just took it out and it didn't go back to zero, every time you put it back in, it would just measure a little bit more. So it's collective. if you even got rounded up to the next whole unit, for instance, you used 8/10 of a unit, and then you used only 1/10 of a unit more, you'd still be charged one unit. It's collective as you move along. So you don't just keep getting rounded up every time. Mm-hmm. The meter just keeps turning, never resets to zero.
I see. Okay. So. Well, that's good to know. Okay, well, I like that analogy better than the other one. Okay. Thank you.
You good? Okay. So I know in the billing statements we do make a comparison of units used from year to year. I'm just wondering, do we have the ability to show people graphically, because I know even though we probably aren't doing that, but tracking the trends, because I know that when I look at my water bill.
A concern. It states that in 2010 there was a revision on the government code that required an additional $3 surcharge, and the city at that time didn't do anything to add that $3 onto our fee schedule. And now they're asking for another $3, and so we are upping it $3. Is that correct?
I believe this is the same $3. And
okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, it is the same $3.
Okay, then why is it coming up again?
We didn't adjust it in 2010. Perhaps we should have, but the decision we made at the time was to wait until we did our next master fee update. That master fee update is taking longer than we anticipated. So we have decided to come forward and at this point and not wait any longer.
Okay. And when are we going to look at a new update? Do we have a plan?
I am hoping within the next couple of months that it will be completed. I had a call in to Will Dan this afternoon, who is the consultant.
Okay. And then we'll have a chance to look at it and discuss changes and maybe make suggestions. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Okay.
Very good.
Then I'm okay with this.
Okay. Debbie.
I'm curious about how the bicycle licenses are collected.
Oh.
They're not.
I didn't think I'd ever pay one when my little boy got a new bike.
We actually keep that fee. We have a process to do that, but nobody does it, and it's not real effective.
So it's not added onto the purchase of the bike?
No.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's not something that we typically do.
Thank you. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions to my right? Okay. I guess since we've pulled this from consent, I'm going to open this up to the public and see if anyone from the community would like to address this item. Seeing none, let me close and bring it back. Is someone prepared to make a motion on item 5?
I will. I make a motion that we adopt the resolution amending the master fee schedule to include any additional fees set or reduced by other agencies that affect the revenue of parking violations will be added or reduced to the amount set by the city for all tickets issued.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's move on to item number 7, and I think I'd like to have staff do a quick staff report on this. Mr. Ray.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Council. This is the item is the Program Supplemental Agreement for West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. The City of Grover Beach has received federal surface transportation program transportation enhancement funds. We call them TE funds. In the amount of $532,000 for the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2 between 8th and 11th Streets. Just for your for the public and for your recollection, that project consists of landscape center medians and decorative pavement between 8th and 11th Streets on West Grand Avenue. The State of California, acting through Caltrans, is administering the TE funds. These funds are paid to the City of Grover Beach pursuant to the provisions of an administering agency state agreement. And that was entered into by the City of Grover Beach and Caltrans in 2010. In order to receive funds for a specific project, the city must execute a supplemental agreement to that original agreement. And the purpose of that is it identifies the specific project and any special conditions that the federal government would like to put on that, or the state government would like to put on that project. Conditions of the supplemental agreement include funding administration requirements, which is why we do quite a bit of work ahead of the project and during the project to meet the grant funding requirements. And the most notable in this case is the requirement to award the project by the end of December 2012 and to complete construction within 3 years of award. Council has a number of alternatives to consider this evening. You could adopt the resolution identifying the city manager as the authorized official to execute the program supplemental agreement. Or you could choose not to adopt the resolution, provide additional direction to staff. This evening, staff is recommending that you adopt the resolution identifying the city manager as the authorized official to execute the program supplemental agreement. And I'll just follow up with a brief look at the fiscal impact. The project, West Grand Enhancement Phase 2, is funded by a combination of state, federal, and local funds. Adoption of the proposed resolution secures $532,000 of federal funds with a required local match of $68,000, and we have additional state funding in the amount of $300,000 from the regional state highway account. And that concludes my presentation tonight. There's a resolution attached to your staff report, which would
the other would be from the Street Rehabilitation Fund, and that designation can be made at the time that the council awards the project.
So we hadn't already budgeted this, even though we had discussed doing it earlier in the year?
It what has always been listed, it's been listed in the CIP part of the budget, but the actual designation as to where it was to come from was not a determination that was made.
Okay, so that is not going to affect
no.
what we just...
No.
All right. And my other concern, and this is not about the money, is the streets... trees that are along Grand Avenues down there near 5th and that are uplifting the sidewalk. I hope that when we do this, we put in trees that are not going to be, you know, causing that kind of a problem, because not only is that a liability problem, but it's also a waste of money and maintenance for the city. And do you know which areas I'm talking about down there?
Yes.
I mean, we've got the sidewalk coming up like this high in sections. And so I hope that when the time comes, when we haven't already made a determination of what kind of trees we're putting in.
Well, we're not discussing that aspect tonight, but I do know that we've gotten better over the years as far as having deep root berries and other
right.
measures that would prevent that from happening. So I know that is part of the specifications that go forward, no matter what type of tree that it is.
All right, thank
so
you.
It is something that's been discussed and considered.
I did have one comment,
okay.
question. I noticed that we could begin construction at the end of November, and I just wanted to highlight that that's the Christmas shopping season. So I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to cause our businesses harm over the Christmas period.
The attempt will, you know, the award of this contract will be on October 3rd. And we will move to expeditiously get the project underway as quickly as possible thereafter. There is an option in the contract to delay for the holiday period if that becomes advisable.
Okay. And I would just echo that we start this project as soon as possible. One of the reasons we got the additional $300,000 was it was represented to me and represented as a slow cog that this project was further along than it actually ended up being. Yes. So I would strongly advise that this project gets under construction before November. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone like to, well, let me see. This is pulled from consent. Does anyone from the community want to address this item before the council? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back. Would someone prepare to make a motion on this item?
I'll move that we adopt the resolution identifying the city manager as set forth in the staff report.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, let's move on to our council committee reports. Councilmember Bright, do you have anything you want to report this evening?
I do. Thank you. I had just one meeting, and that was the IWMA, Integrated Waste Management. I guess most important is the October 1st date is looming for the plastic bag initiative, although it is in litigation at the moment. It did go before the judge, and they are expecting a ruling soon. Save the plastic bag people who are litigating the issue against our county as well as others. They were unsuccessful against the city of San Francisco, and so I guess they're thinking that they may not be successful against our county as well as the other cities and counties that they are litigating against. So they're planning to go forward with the community education program. They have all the brochures in the stores and so on. And I handed out some bags. I do know that Mr. Robles, you weren't here, so I want to give you a bag before you leave, please. And anyone else who didn't get one? Oh, Mr. Lee,
Mr.
you
Lee.
As well. Then two other things that I think are really important to note, and that is regarding our green waste. They're talking about an anaerobic digestion system which basically is the food waste in our county. All of our food waste now goes to Santa Barbara County, and it's costing us an arm and a leg. So about that, I know that they did in Orange County, and they were not successful there. But I don't know about recently anywhere else.
Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach, yes. All right, thank you, counsel. Yeah, Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, we should ask the expert in the law field.
Okay. Bill, you have anything to report?
Yes. Well, I have two meetings this week, both the Sanitation District meeting Wednesday. The ASOC meeting is also on Wednesday. And I will report that we did have the hearing with the State Regional Water Quality Control Board. You talk about a marathon. It started at 8:30 in the morning. And I can tell you that I got home just a little bit before 2 a.m. It went well past midnight, and the board went into closed session to make a decision as to whether or not they were going to discuss and come to a conclusion, and they decided that it was much too late and they needed much more time than was available at that time. So they have held off making a decision on it. They have rescheduled their next meeting for October 3. At which time they will meet. They stated they're going to meet in closed session. However, there's some debate as to whether or not this issue should be debated in closed session or in open session. And that will be decided prior to the October 3rd meeting, and we hopefully will get a decision come October 3. That's it.
Okay. No, I'm not going to ask. No, never mind. I was going to ask the question of... Do we know what has been their past practice of having this discussion in open session or closed session? And it seems a bit odd to me as well.
I think the only, and again, not having been at the hearing or really studied what was going on there, but a body that presides over an appeal like that would, generally speaking, do that in an open session. The only reason that I can think of that it would go into closed session if there were concern about litigation arising out of the decision, but that would be unusual.
Gotcha. Okay. Phyllis?
Yes. I met with the Housing Trust. The city should know, and anyone who's interested, there is available up to $3 million for anyone who wishes to build any low to medium income housing or senior housing, and so the Housing Trust is available to help with that. Also, I met with RAC, and we had a continued discussion over the memorandum of understanding that will be between the city and the RAC for the IRWM, which is the Integrated Regional Water Management Program, and we will be having that come to us soon to take a look at it, because they will need our signature on that from the city in order to go forward with any water projects in the future. And they do have, coming up in March, more Prop 84 water funding available, and I believe we did try to address the issue of the Lopez Spillway, and I think that was turned down only because we are not, I actually am on the committee, and the project was very well received, but because we were not ready to proceed, at that time we were not chosen. And that would have been an alternative plan B to the Napomo Mesa water pipeline, which is still actually up in the air as to whether they will be receiving that grant money or not.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Still no word on Napomo.
I was wondering, did the voters in Napomo vote that down?
Yes, they actually, this is a scaled-down version of the pipeline. They were going to be needing three large tanks, water pressure meters, and that type of thing. And what has been decided is they are going now for 700 acre feet instead of 10,000, or 3,000, pardon me, in their pipeline. And it would cost a lot less money. What was really interesting is the people voted it down, and all it was going to cost them was basically an extra $5 a month for this pipeline. And I think what happened is there was a lot of disinformation out there. And so people, they voted, I believe, improperly, because it really needed to be done. So now we have a scaled-down version, which is being brought forward.
Surprise, surprise. Debbie?
Economic Vitality Corporation is meeting next week. They didn't meet in August. Visitor and Convention Bureau is meeting Wednesday morning. Save of the Central Coast will be at the end of this month, so if folks don't have their tickets yet, they can get those online, savercentralcoast.com. And the Chamber of Commerce had a successful...
That we were able to realize some savings in the neighborhood of about $122,000. And so in order to augment existing services and in future services, they are continuing to take a look at that, and we'll have a much better idea of if it's something that might be successful, and then as far as the knowledge gaps that they would probably have to address during any campaign should the board choose to go in that direction. I did want to update you all, and I know you all saw this in the city manager's Friday letter, that on August 29th, myself, the city manager, and I believe Community Development Director Buckingham went to Santa Cruz and met with Dr. Charles Lester and Dan Carl of the Coastal Commission, wanting to continue to be proactive in moving the lodge project forward. I think everyone understands that the Coastal Commission typically is a body that doesn't move very swiftly. And so you can imagine that when we went up there, we wanted to have a discussion with them to introduce them to the project yet again, hear what some of their initial concerns were, so that the staff might be able to respond to those or work with them in the interim. And you can imagine our surprise when they said that they were actually looking at either bringing the Grove Reach project before the full commission, either in December or November. And I believe the Mr. Peralt or Bob, did the letter go out under your signature? Just to kind of reiterate our conversation, what we understood from that, and to encourage them to move forward to the November agenda. So I think that's I think you had all read that, but wanted others to be aware of that as well.
And do you happen to know how soon we'll know if we are on November?
That I don't know. I think the staff will know before I will.
Yes. The earliest we're going to know is probably October, sometime during the month of October. About the middle of October, they should be in the process of preparing November's agenda, and we should get a pretty good indication if we're going to be able to make that at that time.
And okay. This one will be in Santa Monica, correct?
Yes.
And what day of the week?
They are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, usually at the middle of the month.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it probably would be about the middle of the month. That's correct. Okay. let's move on to city council member items. We don't have any at this time. Any council communications tonight? Okay.
I just have one tiny thing.
Okay.
And that is, I just wanted to, Sharon Brown had brought up the 9/11, but I had several people mention to me as well how, and these are people not only from our town, but others that were just so pleased that they had somewhere to go. So I want to thank you very much for doing that. It was lovely, even though it was really cold. But it really was very nice, and I thank you very much.
If I could just add to that, Parks and Recreation do a great job of putting they that do. Together.
They really do. They absolutely do, no doubt yeah. about it.
And the fire department did a great job, right. too.
Yeah.
That flag was incredible.
Yeah. Well, I would say I agree with all of that, but I'd also say to the members of this council that understanding that that's very important, not just for our community, but for others in the region, and being able to allow the funds for that to continue to happen. I think we heard a lot of testimonies from folks who aren't even from Grover Beach who, as you said, really appreciated having an opportunity to come somewhere and to just remember those who were victimized and those who had acts of heroism. So it was a really good event. And this year we had a group picture in front of the large flag that I think will be posted on the website. So very good. Thank you for bringing that up.
I had one thing, too.
Okay.
I have been out knocking on doors while I'm campaigning, and again, I'm getting feedback from folks that it's they can't hear us on the channel 20. And it's true. I know myself. I have to turn it way up, and then when I change the channel, it hurts my ears because the other stations are too loud. So that problem is maybe improving a little bit, but it's still not 100%.
So I think that's on AGP Video's to-do list. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they heard both of those. So.
The biggest issue seems to be more with staff reports that they're kind of. They said they're kind of quiet.
Oh, well, I'll work with that.
Pull the mic closer, Bob, okay. and speak directly into the mic. Oh, you got him up out of his chair.
Thank you very much for that report. This mic is not great. You have to get up here to... Okay. Some of these mics are not really good. It would be great to get an upgrade in the microphones. And if people are very aware, if you talk like this,
yeah.
you're not going to hear it. If you talk like this, you're not going to hear it. We have to turn it up back there, and it gets distorted.
There you go.
Mayor, you have a big voice. Thank you for using it. Everybody else, please try to speak directly into the...
Bags, the big mm-hmm. ones. Parks mm-hmm. and Recs, or not... The state park was actually really nice that they brought me a whole box full of bags to use. And the captain over in Oceano came over and actually to get some from me because they ran out. And we collected over 600 pounds of trash.
Mm. Great. Thank you. Well, and that was down at the end of Grand, correct?
Yes, at the end of
Very
the
Grand. Very good.
Yes.
Thanks for that. Okay, city manager, any reports or comments?
Mr. Mayor, no. Not at this time.
Okay, let's see. So, city attorney, I think we've got an item number 11, discussion regarding confidentiality of attorney-client communication. So,
thank you. Very briefly, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, first time in Grover Beach, one of my privileged and confidential memos was quoted verbatim in the media. That was in CalCoast News. The article referenced the sanitary district, and it also quoted verbatim an email that one of the council members, Councilmember Mornar, sent out. As a reminder to the council, privileged and confidential memoranda from attorney to client can be waived. The privilege can be waived by the council, but it has to be done by the majority of you. In other words, for that information to be released to the public, at least three of you need to make that decision, and in that event, that information can be a public record, basically. So just please keep that in mind in the future.
Okay. Are there any potential implications from those sort of things?
Well, the act of releasing information under the Brown Act or violating the Brown Act is a misdemeanor. It's rarely prosecuted, but it is a misdemeanor. Release of privileged and confidential can be very detrimental to the city in some instances, especially if information deals with litigation strategy, with personnel. with those types of privacy rights can be violated. In this particular instance, that wasn't the case. It wasn't a memo pertaining to city-involved litigation. Nevertheless, in order for everybody to feel comfortable about transmitting that type of information back and forth between the client and the attorney, and the privilege exists, and it should be honored.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay. So I think we have come to the end of our agenda. We have some items on closed session. So, City Attorney, would you like to cover those?
We have three items in closed session that the council intends to meet on. One of them is existing litigation, City of Grover Beach versus Shukla. The other one is one potential litigation under initiation of litigation by the City Council, and that pertains to the Ward Automotive situation, a code violation. And the last one is a employee evaluation of the city manager.
Very good. Thank you, City Attorney. And with that, we're going to recess in a closed session.